Let's pause. Oh God, thank you for your stories and your narratives and your scriptures that give us meaning and give us so much, so rich and full. May we understand and make sense of all these words, and may we be able to apply it to our lives, to our situations of living. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Margaret Wolfe Hungerford, in her book Molly Bawn in 1878, said this: "Beauty is in the eye of the beholder." Now, what does that mean? Would anybody like to summarize what that means? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Beauty can be relative, right? So some people may see beauty and say, wow, that's beautiful, and someone may not even see it, not be able to capture it or grasp it. And I kind of found this out when I got married. When we go to yard sales and thrift stores, and my wife says, "That is beautiful." And I say, "Yeah, I never saw that before." But sometimes I say, "Oh, I like this. What do you think of this?" And she'll, "Ugh." So we have differences. We see things differently. The story from John chapter 9 is full of people who see things differently, who have different points of view and different perspectives. Now, the main character is the blind man, who was born blind, and then Jesus. And then you have all these groups that see the blind man, that see Jesus, that see this whole situation differently. They base what they believe on what they see. So we ask, what do they see? There's the disciples, there's the blind man's neighbors, there are the Jews, there's the Pharisees and the parents, and they are all seeing things very differently. They don't seem to be in agreement. The first group to speak up are the disciples, and they say, "Who sinned? This blind man is in front of us. Who sinned, him or his parents?" In other words, some people see things this way. They see that someone is born with a defect. And in their mind, they think, well, who sinned, that person or their parents? And what is Jesus' answer? Neither of them. The person was born this way so that God's works may be revealed in them. Apparently, for the disciples, when they looked at this blind man, they were only thinking one thing. Well, someone is sinning here. That's why he was born that way. Well, this passage says it's not because of sin that the person is born this way. What does Jesus see? He sees a blind man as someone who needs healing, as someone who has hope, as someone who has potential, someone who can receive God's goodness, someone who can be a follower and a believer. He is not an object or a product of sin, that the disciples are seeing him and treating him. This man is a child of God, someone that God cares about. So the disciples are seeing him in one way. Who are the next group? The neighbors. What do they see? This is verse 8. "Isn't this the guy that used to beg? Isn't this the guy who was at the side of the road waiting for a handout?" The perceptions that they have, the neighbors, of this man is his past. Their opinion of him is based on what they know about him previously. Then some of the other neighbors says, "No, that's not him, but it is someone who looks like him, someone who is similar to him." And so the neighbors are kind of seeing things differently because they're kind of confused, I guess. They say, well, we'll settle it. How about if we bring in the Pharisees? Now, what do the Pharisees see? The Pharisees ask the man what happened. The man asks him and says that he was healed by this stranger. Now, the funny thing is with the Pharisees is they don't focus on the man. They don't focus on the miracle. They don't focus on the reversal, turnaround, but they focus on the law. Who is this man that healed you on the Sabbath? He broke the law. Never mind that this is a good news, that this man who was once born blind can now see and is freed and liberated. No, they don't focus on that. They focus and they see that who is this guy that healed you, that broke the law? This man is probably not, couldn't be from God. This man's a sinner. And they focus and they get steered in that direction because they are seeing tradition, they are seeing doctrine, and for them, their Bible, their scripture says one thing. So he cannot be of God because he's breaking what the Bible is saying. And so the groups are divided because then another group says, well, if he can do that, then he must be from God. And countering the other argument, no, he cannot be from God because he breaks Sabbath. So they're debating and they have all this philosophy going, all based on what they see. So bring in the next group, which are the Jews. Now, the Jews take the point of view that maybe the modern scientist would be today, which is if someone was born with genetics in a certain way, it's impossible to reverse that condition. So if someone was born blind, how can you reverse the blindness? Now, back then, they didn't have the surgical sophistication that we have now. But they're taking almost that scientific kind of logical explanation. So all these groups are seeing something different, and finally they say, let's bring in the parents. Certainly the parents can clear this up. What do the parents see? So the parent says, okay, yes, he is our son. Yes, he was born blind, but we don't know how he regained his sight. We don't know who opened his eyes. What do the parents see? The parents want safety. The parents want status quo. The parents don't want change. In that one passage, it was saying they didn't want to confess that it was Jesus because they would be kicked out of the synagogue. So apparently they were attending synagogue. And so they didn't want to be threatened. They didn't want to be expelled. They didn't want to have their lives changed. They didn't want to confront anything. So they claimed ignorance or innocence or neutrality. They saw self-preservation. They saw their own protection. They knew it was Jesus who opened his eyes, but they didn't want to risk embarrassment. They didn't want to risk shame. They didn't want to risk persecution. So they avoided the issue. So what did the blind man see? He says to the Pharisees, you know, you don't know where he comes from, talking about Jesus, yet he opened my eyes. And we know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but does listen to the one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the beginning of the world has anyone heard of someone's eyes being opened after being born blind. If this man were not from God, then he can't do anything. So the irony is all these different groups who have eyes that can see, who see things differently, can't see things clearly. Whereas the man who was formerly blind is the one who sees clearly. I would like to ask us, what do we base our beliefs on, our convictions on, our truth? Do we base it on the doctrine? Do we base it on what the tradition says? Do we base it exactly what the Bible says? The Pharisees certainly held to that position. If anything happens outside the tradition, if anything happens outside of the doctrine, if anything happens outside of the Bible, then it is a sin. Then it's abominable or it's a violation. That's what the Pharisees were saying. Do we base our beliefs on the past? Do we put something or somebody in the box of the past and say, well, I believe based on my past experience of that person, they couldn't possibly change? Do we base our beliefs on fear? Do we base our beliefs on protection? We don't want the status quo upset. We want safety. We want neutrality. We don't want to risk ridicule. We don't want to be rejected. And so I'm going to base my beliefs on my view of that. Innocence, ignorance, just going to hide behind that. The beauty of the United Methodist Church, and I had a membership class, we were talking about this morning, is that we follow John Wesley's quadrilateral, which is based on four things: scripture, which is primary, tradition, which is all those things that the church has shaped and formed throughout the centuries, reason, in that God gave us a brain to think, God gave us an intellect to struggle, and experience is the fourth. And all four of those are in conversation with each other. All four of those help to balance each other out. It is not just on the Bible. It is not just on what the church believes. It is not just on the rational, logical mind, but it includes experience. Our experience informs the rest of them. And it's not any experience, but it's the experience of the Holy Spirit transforming us. It's the experience of Jesus' resurrecting power. For the blind man, he wasn't locked into the doctrine. He wasn't locked into the tradition. Even though the law of the Sabbath was broken, his blindness was broken open and his sight granted. The Pharisees were closed-minded. The Pharisees were not flexible. They were not amenable. In reality, they were blinded by their scriptures. They were blinded by their traditions. What the lesson of this passage is saying is that throughout our lives, in this creative world of God, and through all this creative activity and experiences that we will encounter, that we can learn from them and be transformed by the Holy Spirit. And our blind spots will be opened up so that we pass from darkness to light. The beauty of Christ Jesus is in the eyes of the blind man. He was humble, he was open, he was willing to experience, he was willing to learn from their experience. Remember that part that Yahya read about the scripture was saying that the Pharisees were saying, what, are you going to try and teach us now, you who are in your sins? The blind man came with the value of his experience, and the Pharisees didn't want to learn from experience. Let us be humble. Let us not be judgmental. Let us be flexible and open-minded. And if we do that, then the beauty of Christ Jesus will be in our eyes. Amen.